White. Campground, Armidale, Melbourne, Australia. October 22nd, 1895. Dear son Edson, we have been having excellent meetings. The Lord has given Brother Prescott a message for the people, which is highly appreciated. His mind is fruitful on the truth, and the power and the grace of God are upon him. We feel that we are highly favored in having his services at this camp meeting. I long to attend every meeting, but am prevented from so doing because of physical weakness. My heart goes out in most earnest prayer that the Lord may guide us into all truth. Thy word is truth. John 17, verse 17. We are to be growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we have not a moment to lose. On Monday, I attended the ministers' meeting. We had precious instruction from Brother Prescott, and then I spoke for a short time. The meeting was of a most profitable character. On Tuesday, I again attended the ministers' meeting, and we had a most precious meeting. I engaged in prayer, but did not speak. I felt the peace and the blessing of God upon me, but suffered from great physical weakness. I cannot attend the meetings that I so much desire to attend. Every day I am made aware of the fact that I am not immortal. But I am thankful that the peace of Christ is in my heart. I cannot send you the word that you desire to hear. Neither Fanny nor anyone else here in this country can prepare the manuscript of which you speak. I have only one editor to do all my work, and for months my manuscript has lain from mail to mail unprepared, and I cannot send it to America as you desire. Fanny has come to this camp meeting under restrictions. She is to take no other labor except that which is connected with my work. At the two camp meetings previous to this, W.C. White and others have planned work outside of my work for her to engage in. But at this camp meeting, she is not to be burdened with any other work except mine. I have had to call Marion to my aid in getting off the two last mails. Fanny has prepared matters for these mails, as well as Marion, but was not able to carry the whole burden. She feels bad over her inability to edit all my manuscript, and when she is able to work, works rapidly. You had best keep quiet about the matter and not speak to people at Battle Creek about her ill health. I am keenly disappointed that we have not been able to send you the manuscript that you desire. The articles that were simplified on the childhood of Jesus were not satisfactory to me. The matter was diluted altogether too much, and the life and spirit did not appear. I received your letter in regard to Mary Stewart, and I dare not connect her with my work. Unless she could strike the right chords, she would only be a hindrance to me. She is too mechanical in her way of working. I wish you would see Sister Hall, who has so long been at South Lancaster, and see if she could come to my aid. There was some talk of her coming with me when I first came to Australia. Her husband is only a common working man, and it was thought that it would not be good policy to expend so much money in bringing them both over when only one of them could render me valuable service. But now I think Brother Hall could serve in my family to advantage. At my place in Kurrenbong, there will be abundant work. I have two horses and two cows at Kurrenbong and one at Granville. I have an American platform wagon at my farm and have just traded my phaeton in part payment for a $280 carriage. My phaeton brought me $100, and Brother Harper sent me $100 to be invested in a carriage for me and to be used for nothing else. So I only had to raise $80 in paying for my new carriage. I have also a two-wheeled cart that may be used for a common draft wagon. I have land that needs cultivating. Now, Edson, please find out what you can in reference to Brother and Sister Hall, who have been connected with the school at South Lancaster, and see if they are proper persons to be connected with my work. I know that she has marked literary ability. It will be an expensive matter for me to bring these persons from America to Australia. but I must have someone connected with me upon whom I can depend.
Marion works all the time, but has very little attention from Will or myself, for we have not time to even read the matter she has already prepared. I fear greatly that time will pass and my life will end, and that a large amount of work will be unfinished which should be in print. Now, Edson, consider the matter, for I am in a great strait. I know not what to do. Fanny is not able to work all the time. She says that if she does not improve, she will go back to America and place herself where she can regain her health. I am distressed over the situation. Fanny is as strong physically as usual and feels quite natural and well in doing housework or in doing anything in which she can exercise her muscles. But when confined to preparing manuscript, she suffers from terrible headaches and has suffered in this way more or less ever since coming to Australia. But I must have help. Were Fanny able to do the work that she has done in the past, still I would need more workers. I write to you, and I wish you to talk with Dr. Kellogg about the matter. I dare not send for Mary Stewart. She has not depth of imagination and could not appreciate the life of an article or put life and vigor into it in preparing it. Oh, how much mechanical work is done! How little of the sacred fire of God's own kindling is made manifest in the works of God's professed people. My memory is still good, my thoughts quick and vigorous. The Lord gives me strength to speak with power. But my infirmities are ever present with me. I feel pained beyond measure that I cannot have helpers who are able to prepare the matter for the press. I shall pray and watch and wait for some opening. But do not, I entreat of you, let it be known that Fanny is not able to do all the work that I need to have done. She has kept the papers abundantly supplied ever since coming to Australia, and has generally been able to prepare about 200 pages of typewritten matter for the mails, but for the last 2 months has only prepared 20 articles for the mails, and I have had to call upon Marion to edit personal letters and testimonies. When she is able to work, she has prepared double the amount that any other one has or could prepare. I think she will be able to keep the papers prepared with articles. I sent you a short letter in the last mail, and it will be short this time. I cannot write much. I feel a deep and living interest in you, my son, and pray that you may have hope, courage, and faith that will enable you to be like a treasure house from which only good things may be brought forth. I feel a deep interest in both Brother Henry and Brother Lindsay. I know that Satan is seeking to sift them as wheat. Christ is still praying for them, and there is yet opportunity that the heart may be softened by the grace of God and sanctified by His Holy Spirit. They want to operate the Holy Spirit instead of permitting the Holy Spirit to work upon them. God has a controversy with them. Whatever cause you may have at the present time, or have had in the past, or will have in the future, to feel that they have wounded you, still, do not allow any thought of retaliation to arise in your mind. Remember that it is not simply these brethren that seek to hurt you, but it is the arch-deceiver who so blinds their spiritual vision that they cannot discern spiritual things. They need the anointing of the divine eye salve, that they may discern the devices of the enemy. Satan is spreading his deceptive nets in order that they may be ensnared. They do not know themselves. They do not know others. They have misjudged their brethren and will continue to misjudge them unless they become as little children in spirit. Unless they receive the truth in the love of it and become workers together with God,
they will never discern the spiritual character of the kingdom of God. He who enters into the kingdom of God must enter in by faith. Self and selfishness must not come into the life of any of God's people. Those who cherish a spirit of resistance to the truth that is brought by the messengers of God will refuse to receive it, and darkness will be the inevitable result. Christ is the truth, and refusing truth, they refuse Christ. My son, do not give occasion for men to speak evil of your good. Let Jesus reign and dwell in you richly. Invite his presence into your heart daily, and make Christ your constant companion. Utter no words that savor of impatience. Do not use cheap and common expressions that will make Jesus ashamed to own you as his brother. You cannot think how great my pleasure is, how unspeakable my gratitude to God for the great goodness he has showed to you and me in reaching out his arm to lift you up and to draw you to himself. He has drawn you with the cords of his love. When speaking with others on commonplace matter, be reserved, but in speaking of the love of God, be free in uttering praise and thanksgiving, for it is due to God. Darkness covers the earth, and gross darkness the people. And how ardently we should desire the presence of the divine instructor to lead us in the way of truth and righteousness. God has already spoken to man at sundry times and in divers places and in various ways, yet the world's ignorance is increasing. We must speak with more pronounced utterances concerning the truth, that we may bring to man a knowledge of God. The distinction between Christians and worldlings must be more marked. The Bible must become a book of more prominence among us, and the attentive, diligent searcher, by painstaking effort, must search for the hidden treasure. The maxims of men, the dogmas of error, though advanced by those who profess to be interpreters of the Word of God, must be discarded, for they are calculated to cover up the truth and to mystify the spiritual import of the sacred gospel. Those who search for hidden treasure will find it. We need not weep, as did John, that the roll is sealed, and that no one can be found to open it. For the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed to open the book. The truth stands revealed. The Jews turned from the Lord Jesus, whom the prophets foretold as the coming Messiah, and they had not been able to see to the end of that which was abolished. In making void the law of God, in turning from the truth with aversion, the Christian world have turned from Christ and have made manifest the fact that they were not accustomed to looking upon truth of heavenly origin. The darkness has become like a funeral pall, and it covers the whole earth. This is not the time to become weak and sickly in faith. This is no time to permit the world to convert the Church of God. Let those who have light now arise and shine, and gather every ray of divine light that may be imparted to them through the influence of the Holy Spirit. We are living in a most solemn period of this world's history, but light is shining for those who will walk in the light. Those who refuse to walk in the light walk in darkness and cannot possibly comprehend the light, because they have chosen darkness rather than light. There are many who have not had the light, and they are not judged guilty. They mourn because of their human ignorance. They find nothing satisfactory and thirst for a knowledge of the only true God. They have an ideal of God in their mind, and they desire to find him. He has entrusted light to his people to give to all those who are praying for light. He has sent forth his streams of salvation
to refresh those who are athirst for a knowledge of truth, virtue, and holiness. To such, we should speak as did the Apostle Paul to the Athenians. Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. Acts 17, verse 23. Heavenly inspiration has come to men, and they have been entrusted with gospel truth, and have thereby been weighted with a solemn responsibility to devote their God-given powers to making God known to man. Christ says, "For this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." John 17, verse 3. Will those who profess to be Seventh-day Adventists refuse to shine? Will they live a divided life? Christ says, "Ye cannot serve God and mammon." You may think that you may serve both, but the great teacher says, "Ye will hold to the one and despise the other." Matthew 6, verse 24. Those who compromise with the world despise the humble, self-denying, self-sacrificing principles that actuated the life of Christ. He lived not to please himself. He was self-denying. In man's behalf, he was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. Those who have the mind of Christ will walk even as he walked. 1 John 2, verse 6. They will live out the law of God, will feed upon Christ, be partakers of the divine nature, and stand as living sentinels for truth. In integrity of heart, they will voice the cry, "Come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17-18.
Those who are waiting for the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ cannot mingle with those who are lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, who are seeking amusement in games and pleasure parties. As faithful watchmen, they must proclaim the warning: "The morning cometh, and also the night." Isaiah 21, verse 12. Christ has left his Holy Spirit to be his representative in the world, to give celestial aid to every hungering, thirsting soul. Heavenly inspiration is still imparted to men, and it is the work of those who have had light to let light shine forth to those who are in darkness. Let no one feel inclined to hide his light. Those who hide their light so that the world may not distinguish between them and those who walk in darkness will soon lose all power to diffuse light. They are the ones who are represented by the five foolish virgins, and when the crisis comes, when the call is heard, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Matthew 25, verse 6. They will arouse at last to find that their lamps have gone out, that they have mixed with the elements of the world and have not provided themselves with the oil of grace. They were lulled to sleep by the cry of peace and safety, and did not keep lamps trimmed and burning. Aroused to their darkness, they plead for oil, but it is impossible for one Christian to impart character to another soul. Character is not transferable. Those who are ease-loving, world-loving, fashion-loving professors of Christianity will not go into the marriage supper of the Lamb with those who are represented by the five wise virgins. When they solicit entrance, they are told that the door is shut. Now is the time to impart light. Do not wait until the word is spoken. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still.
And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Revelation 22, verse 11 to 14. It is not to be looked upon as a trifling matter to have the light of present truth, and yet to be non-committal. It is no trifling thing to say, by attitude and sentiment, even though that sentiment is not expressed in words, "My Lord delayeth his coming." Matthew 24, verse 48. The spirit and influence of the peace and safety sentiment is in our very midst, and the very atmosphere that surrounds the soul of many who profess to be believers in the soon coming of Christ is of a malarious character, calculated to soothe the very ones who would be stirred if we showed zeal and determination, and stood at our post of duty to warn men of the speedy advent of our Lord. Those who do not beseech men to get ready without a moment's delay will find that their candlestick will be removed out of its place. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. We must speak forth the truth. We must let our light shine forth in clear, steady rays, lest some soul shall stumble and fall because our light is eclipsed. Jesus says, "I am the root and offspring of David, and the bright and morning star." And the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And let him that heareth say, "Come." And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Revelation 22, verse 16, 17. Those who are of a contrite heart will receive the message of heaven, and will voice the words of the angel. This is the work of all who have heard the divine invitation. Jesus said to the woman of Samaria what he says to us all. If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, "Give me to drink," thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. John 4, verse 10, 14. The words spoken by Jesus Christ are to be repeated by those who believe them. Those who have genuine faith will make it evident by working for souls who are in darkness. Those who have genuine faith will not encourage a do-nothing spirit, but will manifest an earnest zeal to create in the hearts of others a love for souls like that manifested by Jesus Christ. They will speak words of warning, of entreaty, and will point out the snow waters of Lebanon to those who are seeking to quench their thirst from the low streams of the valleys of the world.
God calls for those who stand as soldiers under his blood-stained banner to go to work. He will clothe his messengers with divine power so that they may reach those who are perishing. If we are not standing as faithful soldiers on duty under the blood-stained banner of Prince Emmanuel, we are not standing in the radiance of the Sun of Righteousness. God gives light to those who love light. He imparts truth to those who search for truth as for something of most precious value, in order that they may impart light to those who are in the valley and the shadow of death.